You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Arizona Diamondbacks. I am Allison Footer from MLB.com. I am joined by my intrepid colleague, Steve Gilbert, who covers the Diamondbacks for MLB.com. And, Steve, we are at that point in the season where the regular season is over, the playoffs are over, and now we are all looking toward the winter meetings and just the offseason in general to see, which teams are going to be active and how teams are going to shore up their teams for next season. So hot stove action is in full gear. And let's talk a little bit about the Diamondbacks. It seems like it's sort of a wait-and-see sort of situation with them where they don't have any, pressing free agent situations to address. But at the same time, the starting pitching class seems to be something that they might not be tapping into this year. So how do you see sort of where the Diamondbacks are starting right now? What are they thinking?
Yeah, Allison, it's kind of fascinating, too, because this is the first time we're seeing Tony La Russa in his new role as, leading the front office during an offseason. And it's Dave Stewart's first go-around as the general manager, so we're not really sure how he's going to approach, the offseason. Usually with Kevin Towers, we knew that he was going to be aggressive and be out there and take chances. I'm not sure what we're going to see out of Dave Stewart, but, you're right. They are looking to try to beef up their rotation a bit. But it's tough because they don't have a ton of financial flexibility to play on some of the bigger name free agents that are out there. So maybe it's possible they could work out some kind of a trade to do that. They have a limited amount of chips, I think, because I don't think they'll be trying to part with any one of their really young players. But I think maybe you could see a guy like Miguel Montero possibly go in a trade for a starting pitcher if it's the right one. That could be their really kind of big chip that they use this offseason.
And so it would be more of an enticement. I mean, I know that they're a little too stocked at the middle infielders at shortstop. But do you think that there would be anything, a combination of anything there that could net, like a pitcher that would be even worth trading for?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm not sure how they're going to try to work this because they also have some payroll concerns. They had a record high payroll last year at $110 million. So that's something that certainly can go much higher than that, and probably is going to go quite a bit lower than that. So in his first off season as a general manager, Dave Stewart's going to have to be pretty creative if he wants to improve this team significantly.
And plus, I would think that it's almost tempting. They don't have a lot of funds available. There's not much flexibility there. But, we talked about it all through the second half of the season since we started doing these podcasts that, the Diamondbacks are one of those many teams that really were decimated by injuries and it could actually be pretty decent next year if you can get some of these key guys back, especially on the pitching side. But and so are they looking more to just look at a healthy return more than they're like, okay, wow, look at this 64-98 record. We've got to make, wholesale changes. It looks like more like they're just going to be like, okay, everybody just put Band-Aids on it and heal and we'll talk to you at spring training.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, too, is they're banking on the fact that, they're going to get Patrick Corbin back, if not for the start of the regular season next year, at least, early in the season. They're also going to get Paul Goldschmidt back. A.J. Pollock is going to be healthy and ready to go from the start of the year. David Hernandez, one of the top relievers, should be ready to go from the start of the year. So, all these injury issues that they had should be taken care of, and that should help them improve in that way. And then if they're able to make a few changes around the edges and some improvements here or there and get some development of their young players, then maybe they can take that step forward without necessarily having to make any big kind of off-season type acquisition.
So from a prospect standpoint, there's always, those one or two guys everybody's looking at to maybe crack the up any day roster. What are you looking for the Diamondbacks prospects and how, it's way too early to determine who's going to get invites to spring training and who's really going to be, serious contenders. But, there are a couple guys that stand out that could be truly knocking on the door once spring training convenes.
Sure, you know, I think Archie Bradley is one of the guys that you always kind of have your eye on. He's a top pitching prospect, and going into last year, he was ranked as a top pitching prospect in all of baseball by MLB.com. So he's somebody that they definitely would like to see step forward into the rotation. They've got some of the younger pitchers that contributed this past year, like a Chase Anderson or maybe an Andrew Chafin, that could also step forward. That would be helpful to them. And also, what would also be really helpful to Allison is if they could finally figure out Trevor Cahill and get him back to at least being a serviceable pitcher, because he's somebody they're paying a lot of money to, and they could desperately need innings from starting pitchers, and he would be somebody that if they could just get him back to where he was a couple of years ago, they would be really thrilled with that.
So I'm intrigued by we were actually just talking to Tim Gernick from the Dodgers, and we were marveling about how there's like four or five general managers who are now comprising the front office staff, you know, former guys that are being brought into the fold. And I'm very intrigued by Tony La Russa, sort of an administrator, you know, a guy that spent his entire career as a manager. Obviously, he's in the Hall of Fame. But, I mean, this is such a different thing for him. And if there's anybody that knows, you know, would know his place, I would think it would be La Russa. So I can't see any conflict there. But, I mean, just what do you see overall, just observations on his kind of administrative skills and sort of being the boss and not being on the field? Has that been an easy transition for him? Has it been a weird transition? Do you think it's strange for him at all, a feeling still to not really be in that dugout?
I think when you talk to people who have dealt with him over this past year, they come back to Tony's so bright that he understands what it is that he doesn't understand, and so he's able to ask questions and you know, tries to rely on others that have experience. He talked a lot about how he learned a lot from Kevin Towers, just kind of about how the front office works and what goes on, what goes into a trade deadline. That was the first time he'd ever been in a you know, the war room, so to speak, for a trade deadline. It's the first time he'd ever been in the draft room, really, for the whole draft preparation situation. So it's been a tremendous learning experience for him in that way. And I think he's done a decent job of staying out of the way of the manager. And that was one of the things that he made clear when he hired Chip Hale, was that, you know, he's not going to micromanage Chip. He's not going to try to dictate strategy on the field. And in fact, even after games, it'll be Dave Stewart, if anybody goes down into Chip's office to kind of, you know, debrief after a game, it's not going to be Tony, it would be Dave Stewart. And Tony would be available, of course, if Chip wanted anything or needed anything, but it was not going to be looking over his shoulder and talking to players and doing things like that. So he understands the importance of letting a manager do what a manager does and not have a lot of interference from the front office.
When you look at overall, just a realistic, I've been kind of asking, you know, the reporters to give me a realistic prognostication about, you know, when we could see some of the teams that were not contenders last year, when they can really be jumping into the fold. I mean, would you say that the Diamondbacks, you know, are they, I mean, like the Rockies, I mean, Thomas Harding certainly thinks that the Rockies, if healthy, could contend for the wild card next year. I mean, how do you see the Diamondbacks shaping up over the next year or 2 years?
I mean, if they get back to being healthy and they get some development from some of their key young players, like, say, an Archie Bradley, if you know, Jake Lamb at third base turns out to be a pretty good hitter, I think you can make a case that, yeah, they could be in that contention for a wild card or if everything breaks right, a division. But certainly they need things to go right for them, and they need for certain people to step up, like I mentioned earlier, like a Trevor Cahill or Patrick Corbin to come back and be healthy. So, I don't think that they're as bad a team as their record indicated last year. I think they got off to a horrible start. They had a lot of injuries, and it was just something that they could not dig their way out of. But I don't think it's a team that is that bad. I think it's a team that needs some help and needs some things to break their way, but could easily be a 500 or better team after that. And you know, 88 wins or 85 wins puts you right in contention for that second wild card spot. So certainly I think anything's possible in the next couple of years for the Diamondbacks as far as that goes.
Yeah, that start that they had was historically bad. I mean, that's impossible. Even for the really, really good teams that are supposed to be playoff contenders, that's hard to dig out of, let alone a team that, you know, there was so many question marks around. So, all right, Steve, you take care of yourself. I'm not going to keep you any longer. But thank you very much, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay, sounds good, Allison. Thank you.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.